Hey, this is Ed. So this is a podcast, is that right?
This is.
Okay. We're officially podcasting right now. That's awesome.
This is Straight from the Cutter's Mouth.
Welcome to Straight from the Cutter's Mouth, a retina podcast. At least once a week, we aim to bring you insights and perspectives from the world of vitreoretinal surgery. I'm your host, Dr. Jay Schreather. This is episode 383, and this is arguably the most famous person to come on our podcast. Dr. Will Flannery, better known as Dr. Glaucum Flecken, joins us for this podcast. I had the pleasure of interviewing Will for the Experts in Sight podcast in the American Ophthalmology platform. But this was really a special treat. So Dr. Glaucum Flecken joining us for this episode, we talk about many things. We talk about how do you respond to feedback on Twitter? What are really the things that keep him going? What is he passionate about going forward? We talk a little bit about the idea of prior authorizations, how insurance company works, his personal experience, and what he's seen in terms of people's stories. This is a great discussion. Will's a funny guy. He's an insightful guy. He's a passionate guy. He's somebody that I think really means a lot to many people throughout medicine, not just in ophthalmology. So I appreciate all that he does, and hopefully you enjoy this episode. Remember, he has a new podcast called Knock Knock High that he hosts with his wife, Lady Glaucum Flecken. It's on my podcast list now. I only have 5 or 6 podcasts I listen to on a daily basis and cycle through the week. That is one of them now. It's a fantastic listen. I would recommend adding it to your podcast subscriptions. Remember, it's Knock Knock High with Dr. Glaucum Flecken. Definitely worth a listen. Without further ado, here's Dr. Will Flannery.
We are so happy to be back with Dr. Will Flannery, better known as Dr. Glaucum Flecken. He's joining us here today. We're going to talk about a few things, including his ongoing ventures in the world of social media, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube, and now his newest venture, a podcast he co-hosts with his wife. Will, welcome back.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Jay.
So let's talk about this podcast. So for those of you who haven't seen, it was one of those things that I wish I'd heard about it earlier, because how long have you guys been doing this now?
We just launched on January 10th. So
January 10th, okay.
It's relatively early.
In today's world, that seems like months ago. So
I know, it feels like we're about eight or nine episodes in at this point. Yeah.
So it's called Knock Knock High. Is that right?
Yeah. Knock Knock High with the Glaucum Fleckens, which is a play on the, some of the more popular videos I've done were the first day of med student rotations. And for whatever reason, I just started introducing myself by saying, Knock Knock High, I'm the new med student. And so that's where it came from.
Why a podcast? So, I mean, I know this is a little meta because I'm hosting a podcast asking you why you're doing a podcast, but I mean, you have a full plate, right? You're a yeah. practicing surgeon. And then you do TikTok, you do Twitter, you do YouTube. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to branch out with the podcast? What does it allow you to do that you couldn't do on other platforms?
Well, it's a little bit longer. There are a couple of reasons. First, it's a little bit of a longer form. I mean, it is, it's like, you know, hour long episodes, and that would allow me and my wife to be able to explore some topics in medicine a little bit more, explore the kind of human side of being a physician and being in healthcare, and just have a little bit more in-depth conversations. Some of the ideas that I present in my videos, my skits, you know, we can just talk a little bit more about them. And mm-hmm. so that was part of it. But also I was approached by this company, Human Content. There's a brand new company, and they're producing some podcasts, and they were like, hey, we will do like all the work for you.
Right.
If you have an idea for a podcast, let's do it together. And that, frankly, that's the only way I'd even have any time to do it. So I, you know,
right.
Yeah, exactly. They help, you know, coordinate guest schedules and they do all the editing. And so the production team is fantastic, and it's really what allows us to have the time to do it.
Well, for those who haven't heard it, you should go listen to it. You know, you had Tom Oding from Iowa.
That was great.
That was a great listen. You know, the funny thing is, you know, I don't know how you're able to create this, but I mean, he is so, I don't know him very well. I've met him once or twice, but yeah. You guys were riffing off each other, and it was like, 90% of the time I was listening on a plane. I'm like, are they serious right now? You know, because, you know, he's got such a dry sense of humor, and you've got that dry sense of humor, and you bounce yeah. back and forth.
Well, you can tell that we know each other, and, you know,
right.
we've, you know, for, he was obviously my residency program director, and it just, he's the funniest guy I know, honestly. It's great.
So you co-host with your wife, Lady Glockenflecken. And so your wife is somebody who, when you first started your account, it wasn't like she was active with it, right? You know, you started as a resident and, you know, you were kind of anonymous. But one of the reasons she became well-known was, you know, you guys were very public. And we talked about this before about your cardiac arrest. And she performed CPR, saved your life. And you guys have traveled and spoken about the importance of CPR and the importance of sort of that acute care. Now you're co-hosting with your wife. So you're working with her more intimately than ever. How is it working with your wife? I mean, I'm asked that question too, because my wife's a surgeon and I'm a surgeon. So sometimes we overlap, but how was that experience?
We're still happy with each other. It's going pretty well so far. It's, you know, the reason that we wanted to do it together was because I don't know, it seems, you know, when doctors like get in the same room and just start talking to each other, it can get, I feel like it can get kind of boring, a little old,
right.
You know? And so I really like the idea of having someone who's not in medicine, just be, provide that perspective, that voice and the things that she's been through with me and my health issues with the cardiac arrest and everything. Like, she has such a valuable perspective on medicine from a non-medical background. And so I you know, it's great doing this together because we play well off of each other, obviously, as we know each other so well. But also we just come at all these topics from different directions.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the topics you have tackled recently. And, you know, I reached out to you because I saw this big discussion. I took a little Twitter break for a couple of weeks and I came back and
good for you.
It pops up. Yeah, no, seriously. It felt like a long time. And I come back. I'm like, man, the whole world just changed because you were having this discussion about this ProPublica article. And for those who aren't aware, there's an article about United Healthcare and how they denied care. And this is sort of like a whistleblower / sentinel event, right? It's probably the tip of the iceberg is what the article is. One case is emblematic of a systemic problem in this company and the whole industry. You can go read about it if you want, but your takes on it, and you were very good about bringing this up. You not only did skits about it, but you wrote about it intelligently in your tweets, right? You I would say 90% of your tweets are humorous, but 10% of the time you're actually saying, hey, this is important.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, you know, I saw a lot of the feedback you get. I feel like the feedback is so variable on social media, right? You get people who say, absolutely right, this is terrible. You get the layperson who says, I have no idea how this happens, but the doctors are terrible too. And then you get people who say, whoa, you're just a doctor. You don't understand any of this. You got hospital CEOs, people like that saying, you know, you stay in your lane. Like you don't know what you're talking about. How do you sort of balance that and who you respond to?
Yeah, fortunately, that voice is the vast minority in of all the comments that you get about this stuff. And that's the thing with this issue in particular with health insurance. It's like universally almost 100% that everybody is with you on this. Everybody's with me on this, you know, understanding that there's a big problem here. But you know, a lot of times the dissenting voices are the loudest and the most frustrating to deal with. And so sometimes it feels like, you know, there are just two or three people that are kind of almost pro, you know, continuing the current, you know, trajectory we're on with our healthcare system. They're just very loud about it. And so it can kind of fool you into thinking that's what most people feel. But honestly, the feedback I got, the emails I got, the messages, everything, you know, were mostly like shocked in a way, but also like not surprising about this ProPublica article, because well, honestly, what was really fascinating to me and the reason this struck such a chord for me is this is like the first time we've really heard some of the inner workings of a health insurance company, because they keep things so close to the vest. They're so secretive in all their processes, what they do. And so finally, you know, we have this lawsuit that ended up with subpoenas and depositions. And that provided us with a little bit of insight about who are the doctors that are being hired to deny, essentially their job is to deny claims. That's honestly what it is. And it's kind of shocking, the people they have that they call medical directors that do this. And it's, oh man. And my thoughts were, you know, we need more of this. We need more of it out there. We need more stories. We need more lawsuits, whatever it takes to get more information about how these companies run, because that's where people will start to really take notice, is being able to shed light on what they're doing and the reason it's so terrible. And I'm happy to do that. I get fired up, obviously,
right,
with this topic. And so,
and you've got a personal relationship having a cancer survivor, you know, going through what you do. I mean, you were very, you joked about it, but you were very public after your cardiac arrest. Some of the ridiculous sort of insurance things that came in, you were very open about it.
Yeah.
Was absurd. I mean,
yeah.
So let's talk about motivation, right? Does that keep you motivated? Because I think that's one of the interesting things. Obviously, there's financial reasons, you know, you've been very open about, you do get paid for some of this, but I feel like that can't be the only thing when you do what you do, because there is sort of it could be a pressure to constantly be funny and constantly be relevant and constantly create content, right? You have to keep coming up with ideas for videos. Comedians outside of medicine talk about that pressure, right? Yeah. What if I make that joke and people don't laugh or they don't get it?
Yeah.
But yet you seem to enjoy yourself. I mean, is it stuff like this that keeps you motivated? Because you're like, hey, I have a real cause that I'm trying to promote here. It's not simply for just humor. I actually have things that I'm passionate about that I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, the financial gain is secondary. And it by the way, it comes from, you know, whenever I just post my videos on YouTube, the ad revenue is kind of built into it. So that's where the majority of the money comes from for social media. That's the same for most content creators on YouTube. And then I'll be like speaking fees and stuff, but, never anything from the insurance companies. I don't think they would ever want to pay me to do anything, because I would not make them look very good. And it's that's something I've tried to avoid, is feeling like it's a chore, it's a job to have to like continuously put out content. And it can feel that way at times, because you fool yourself into thinking, oh, there's so many, all these people, they're waiting on me to put out content. And I just have to remind myself, oh, no one really cares. Like they'll be there. Right. They'll like it. They'll want to see the cut whenever I make it. But it's, I've tried to avoid that mindset of like, they're waiting on their phones. They're just looking like, when is he going to post again? Like, that's not the case. People have lives to lead. They're not expecting, you know, they want me to post videos, but it's not that much of an expectation. And as far as what keeps me going, in the end, I really enjoy making people laugh. And that's part of it. You know, that's why I like doing those skits. But that eventually became a little bit less fulfilling for me. I still like doing that. I like developing these characters in these skits. But it's really been fun to still make people laugh, but also present some of these ideas that I think the public needs to pay closer attention to, and healthcare professionals. And so, right. And if I can, it's basically a form of advocacy, and social media is a perfect place to advocate for things, you know, with Aetna prior authorizations. That was a big thing with cataract surgery. And so, you know, I did videos on that, and they were funny, but they also were like, oh man, this is really what it's like out there. This is really bad. And that's the sweet spot. I think that's the most effective content. That's the content I like to make the most. The straight funny stuff, that's great. I love telling jokes. I love writing comedy. But these days, within probably the last year, it's been really particularly exciting to put out something that I would consider advocacy. Just reaching people and letting them know some of the horrifying things that happen in medicine.
You know, we talked a little bit about the very minimum percentage that's negative feedback, right? But I found it curious. You know, I'm not stalking you or anything on Twitter, but, you know, I see this post from this guy who you were going to speak at some conference, I think in South Florida. And he's like, it's funny. He's not talking to you. He's just talking to the world at large. It's like I call it grumpy old man syndrome. He's just like, you know, what kind of world do we live in? We're a primary care audience. Has an ophthalmologist who's a comedian as our keynote speaker.
That was a cardiologist.
It was a cardiologist. Okay.
And it wasn't, I don't think it had anything to do with the conference I spoke at. It was, I tweeted that I was going to a conference, and then this person just like out of nowhere was like, what kind of world are we living in?
Right. It's like, this is a sign of the times, right?
Yeah. Like, gotta have a comedian, you know, get keynotes in medicine. Right. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
The dumbest thing. I don't know.
But you responded. And you know, the funny thing is you responded, and I think in a very like funny, but also very like, so like this goes into boundaries, right? And your life, you have kids, you have a wife. I feel like you've done a really good job, at least from the outside, of compartmentalizing and saying, you know, I'm this person, but I'm also a surgeon. I'm also a father. I'm also a husband. It could spill over into your whole life though, right? Just like, again, there aren't that many people sitting out there staring at their phones, but there are people because of social media, because of the dopamine hits, who are sitting there waiting for the replies, right? They're like, I wonder when he's going to tweet back at me. And you are really responsive, but I feel like you still keep yourself kind of grounded with the boundary. Talk about that. I mean, is that sometimes a struggle, like to kind of keep things separate and say, okay, you know what, these 4 hours, I'm not going to check my phone at all.
Yeah, there's only so many minutes, so many hours in the day, right? And the more I bring on, now we're doing this podcast, I'm still trying to keep up with the content, and doing all the speaking engagements. It's basically, I've got two full-time jobs because I still practice ophthalmology 4 days a week. And you gotta let some things go, right? There's, you know, maybe I don't keep up with like friends as well as I should, or, you know, I it's all about priorities. And, I still work on that. It's hard because I've had to learn how to say no a lot. And that's a really important thing, because when you have, you know, you have your job, obviously, but if you have something else that you like to do, and, you know, if you're good at it and you keep working at it and you get better at it, like opportunities are going to come to do stuff with it. So you gotta sit down and really just actually think about this and plan it. Like, what are my priorities? What am I going to cut back on somewhere else to allow me to keep doing this thing? And as long as you follow your plan and you know, you're still going to be happy doing it. I think it's when you realize that you're cutting back on things that are really, you can't cut back on, whether it's family or your kids or patient care or something, then you need to reassess your priorities. But it's tough. And I've had to say no to some things that I would really have liked to do, but it's all about, you know, utilizing your time appropriately. Yeah. It's a hard thing to do though. It's really tough.
Yeah. I think it's really challenging. And again, that's why I think it's nice to have that. I think you always have that core to go back to, right? You do feel like, and I'm not telling this blow smoke up here, you know what, but I actually do believe you make a difference. I mean, I think there are doctors out there who watch your videos, listen to them, read your tweets, and it changes their day. It can change the cadence of their day and make them feel better about their jobs in a really tough landscape. But you also bring to light, like you said, issues. And so that makes it probably a little easier to go and keep doing this.
Yeah, it does. It gives me motivation, you know, especially during the pandemic. I've gotten a lot of feedback that way, like it's, you know, had a tough day and it felt good to be able to laugh at something, you know, working in the ICU.
Or people have a Jonathan Candle now, or a you know, a nephrologist umbrella merch. I mean, people are really happy about it. I mean, it makes them happy, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
and so it's, you know, it's easy to hear all that and decide to keep doing it, you know, and as long as it's fun for me and people like it, then I'm going to keep doing it. And as long as I have ideas, you know, I'm still working my way through my list of skit ideas. I got one I'm going to film right after this. So,
as long as it doesn't involve, you know, the one thing I'm really glad about, I'm grateful, is that you've delved in the world of medicine, but you've never really delved specifically in the ophthalmology subspecialties. But I would hate to hear what you would say about retinal surgeons.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about ophthalmology.
Nobody outside of ophthalmology actually cares. Yeah, it's funny. We all have our little bubbles.
I did. I made one video that I actually didn't share publicly, where I dressed up as Ike Ahmed. That I've showed at a couple of conferences.
I've seen that.
Yeah. I'll do stuff like that for specifically ophthalmology audiences that would not make any sense to anybody outside of ophthalmology.
Right. So let's end here, you know, in this kind of time. So how long do you keep doing this? So what's the future, right? I mean, I remember I started this podcast, and within a year it was annoying. And that's why I hate to be annoying. People would ask me like, so what's your plan? Like, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I just enjoy doing it. I'm doing it. And now we've been doing our podcast here for 5-6 years. You've been doing this for longer since you were a resident. It's a big part of your life. So it's not, I mean, it's not that you're just going to stop doing this, but like you said, you may change your proportion of time mm-hmm. to different things. I mean, do you think it's going to be ophthalmology you cut back from? Is it going to be that at some point, you know, you pull a Bill Watterson, Calvin and Hobbes, and you're like, you know, I've been doing this 10 years. I'm going to go on to high note and I'm done. I mean, what do you kind of envision? You and your wife, I'm sure now, are talking more about it because you're partners in this.
Yeah.
You know, what do you guys think is the future 1, 5, 10 years? Have you even thought that far ahead?
Yeah, it's a great question. I have some lofty goals that we'll see if I achieve them. Other like multimedia things, maybe like an animated series thing based on the characters. There's like stuff that I think would be really fun to do. But I'm in general like not a super forward, like futuristic thinking person. I really am focused like on this year. Like how can I continue to enjoy what I'm doing, but still keep it fresh and keep it fun? You know, because that's part of the challenge is like, I don't want this to be stale, like for me or for the audience. And so it's from like a creative standpoint or an intellectual stamina standpoint. It's actually, this is a lot of ways harder than ophthalmology, just from like the brain power needed to maintain this, because you know, when you get into practice, and I've been like 6 or 7 years into practice now, like you got your routine down, like you're 95% of what you do is something you've been doing for years. And with all this, the content I'm creating, it's a really constant like need to make new content, come up with new jokes, come up with new ideas, storylines. It can be a very exhausting process. And so it's something that I still enjoy doing, and I am not burned out on it yet. We'll see. Hopefully I never get burned out on it, but as long as I can still practice ophthalmology the way I'm practicing while also doing what I'm doing from a creative standpoint, I'm going to keep doing it. Maybe I'll bring on new projects. Maybe I'll let some projects go if they're just, you know, not fun or they're not going anywhere. But I don't see myself like stopping ophthalmology and just doing it full time or vice versa. They're both a big part of me. And, you know, if I retire, it's going to be retiring from all of it.
Right. Yeah. Leave it on a high note. George Costanza style. Yeah,
right.
He's Will Flannery, aka Dr. Glockenflecken. His new podcast he hosts with Lady Glockenflecken, Knock Knock High. I found on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, it's
on my list right now. Yeah, it's on my list of 4 or 5 things I listen to every week now. So, Will, I appreciate your time. Thanks for all you do for our community, and looking forward to hearing more content from you.
Thank you so much.
Many thanks to Dr. Glockenflecken for joining us for this podcast episode. Remember, listeners, all of our episodes, including this one, 383 of them, are on our website, archived and searchable by category. You can always subscribe to get email updates on the latest episodes in your email inbox. You can find us on your Apple Podcast or Android Podcast app, and we are on Facebook and on Twitter at Retina Podcast. We love feedback. Feedback is what makes us keep going, positive, negative, constructive, deconstructive, whatever you like to tell us, you please tell us. I always try to respond personally. We always try to incorporate episode ideas to give you what you want. Remember, you can reach out by clicking on the contact us link on our website or emailing me directly at retinapodcast@gmail.com. Remember, we have an amazing production team. Doctors Louis Kai, Justin Ma, Angela Chang, Mike Minacasa, they're the MVPs. People's names you should not forget. They're the people who make this podcast possible. Listeners, if you didn't take care of patients, if you didn't do such a great job writing those papers, if you didn't do all of the conversation inspiration, then we would not be able to do a podcast like this. So thank you for all that you do, and thank you for listening. This is Jay Schreeder signing off.
Good feeling.
This is straight from the cutter's mouth.